You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. According to the Racine Journal-Times, about $225 million had been spent through January on road projects around the Foxconn development in Racine County. The paper says there's still about $325 million to go toward local roads and I-94. According to plans, the area will be home to what's known as a Generation 6 facility. That's industry speak for where LCD screens for phones, tablets, and small TVs are made. Originally, it was supposed to be a Generation 10.5, which refers to an even bigger plant that produces screens for large LCD TVs. Now, some analysts are speculating that what winds up being built in Mount Pleasant will be even smaller. Willie Shee is the Robert and Jane Sizek Professor of Management Practice and Business Administration at Harvard University. He talked earlier today with Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson.
Can you give us a little more detail about the difference between a Generation 10.5 and a Generation 6 facility? How big a downsize is that?
Well, when you're making these LCDs, usually what people refer to is the mother glass size, and that's what Generation 10.5 versus Generation 6 is. Generation 10.5 is the largest factory that you will find of that type, and typically that the size of that glass is such that you can cut, I think it's like 6 75-inch TVs from one piece. So that piece of glass is probably about the size of a parking space, maybe, you know, a little smaller than a one-car garage. Now, a Gen 6 piece of glass is considerably smaller. It's more like the size of maybe a queen-size bed or so. So it's considerably smaller. In both cases, the sheets of glass are very thin, so they're typically 7/10 of a millimeter thick. So you can imagine, like a Gen 10.5 sheet of glass that's the size of a parking space or a one-car garage, and you try to handle that, and it's really quite challenging. So the smaller size glasses are actually much easier to manufacture with.
So were you surprised at all when the company announced that it was scaling its plans back?
Well, actually, no, I was not surprised at all. The first thing is because when you build a Gen 10.5 fab, as they call them, these factories are called fabs, you have to have that glass come in from a supplier. And Gen 10.5 glass, as you can imagine, is so big and so fragile, every other 10.5 fab in the world has a glass factory across the street. Okay, and usually what they'll do is they'll feed it via underground tunnels into, you know, the actual LCD factory. You can't ship them. They're so big and they're so fragile. So, you know, once I understood that Wisconsin was not going to provide a subsidy for the construction of the glass factory, you know, I figured it was only a matter of time until, you know, that fab got scaled down. Because, you know, Gen 6 glass, you could ship it from a distance. It's not ideal, but you could ship it. But 10.5 is really not practical.
I think I'm remembering from your article that the closest glass factory, the closest Corning factory that would be making this type of glass is actually in Kentucky. And so you're saying that it's impossible to ship something so sensitive from Kentucky. Usually it's right across the street, as you said.
Well, yeah, Kentucky is not exactly across the street. You could ship Gen 6 glass. I imagine you could, you know, it might take some superhuman efforts to ship Gen 10.5 glass. You know, normally what you have to do is you have to pack it in crates, and it's very fragile, and so on. So, you know, 10.5 is really impractical to ship great distances, but Gen 6 you could.
So you have spent quite a bit of time in China looking at the factories that they have there, the fabs, as you call them, and the glass factories. Give us a sense of the scale of these facilities and whether that would ever have been possible in Wisconsin.
Well, it's possible. If you walk into one of these LCD fabs, I visited a Gen 10.5 fab last year. It was a brand new one in Hefei, China, which is, you know, an inland city. And the building for this fab was 1.3 kilometers from end to end. Okay, and usually these fabs are they're gigantic, and one of the reasons is they have to be an ultra-clean environment. You can imagine if you're trying to make these screens, if you have dust particles get in the way, you know, you'll have, like, these dark spots on the screen, right, dead pixels that are referred to. You know, so they have to be ultra-clean environments. And in order to do that, what they usually do is they'll build the fab to be typically about maybe 9 stories high, okay, and they really have 3 levels. The first level is for equipment on the ground floor. You'll have, you know, electrical distribution equipment and chemicals and things like that. The central floor will be a very, very large clean room. In the case of this Gen 10.5, I went to, I think it was about 440,000 square meters, which is an enormous clean room. It was probably the largest clean room of that caliber that I've ever seen. And then on the floor above it, you'll have all this air handling equipment because you need to push purified air down through the fab and then down into the lower floor. So these things are enormous structures. They take a lot of steel to build. And, you know, then inside the fab, since it's ultra clean, you'll have a very high level of automation. You'll have these robotic glass handlers that move the glass, and then you'll have these very large manufacturing tools, which, you know, will put a sheet of glass into an oven, for example, and you'll deposit silicon on them, and you'll deposit all these patterns on them in order to make a sandwich. Because when you ultimately make those LCD panels, whether you're going to use it for a TV screen or, you know, a phone or whatever, they're actually a sandwich, right? So you have to make one side of the sandwich, you'll pattern transistor cells, and the other side you'll pattern these red, green, and blue dots that you use to make up the colors, and then you have to smack those two sides together and align them to, you know, a couple of fractions of a micron, right? So you have to align them with tremendous precision. And all this stuff, human hands can't do that anymore, so you have to have highly specialized manufacturing tools. So inside a fab like that, you'll have these monstrous tools that handle everything, robots that move the glass around. You won't see a lot of people on the floor, right? The people will be engineers who set up the tools, and then we'll be operating on them from a control room off to the side somewhere.
We're talking with Willie Shi right now. He is a professor of management practice and business administration at Harvard University. We're talking about a recent piece that he wrote for wiscontext.org about Foxconn and the differences in doing business in China and Wisconsin and the U.S. And Willie, so it's pretty clear we're not going to have a 10.5 factory here. How confident are you that we will actually get the Generation 6 factory in Mount Pleasant?
Well, that one is possible, okay? It's possible, but Foxconn will face a number of obstacles, okay? First of all, not only the glass, but all the other materials that you use for making LCD panels, whether it's for TV sets or smartphones or whatever, all those other materials have to come from Asia as well, right? So you could say, well, I'm going to build a Gen 6 fab here. I'll import all those materials. But when you are done with the output, you'll have these panels. That's what they call these kind of semi-finished LCD screens, panels which I might use in TVs or use in phones or tablets or whatever. Those panels will then have to go into a product like a TV set or a phone. But the comparison products will come from Asia, will be finished panels, okay, and they will be at a market price, right? So this fab, if Foxconn builds it in Wisconsin, they have to have it at a competitive world market price, right? These panels are kind of a commodity. I hate to say it, right, but they're a commodity, a very high-tech commodity, but the pricing is governed by what other suppliers around the world are willing to sell them for. Okay, and we're at a point in the cycle where in China, manufacturers have added a huge amount of capacity, right? So there's really surplus capacity in the market right now, and the pricing isn't very good, right? So you end up with a commodity. So if Foxconn builds this factory and they're selling into a market that has kind of this commoditization pressure, the question will be, how much money can they really make? Okay? And I've kind of held the position of, well, you don't want to build a fab kind of in the wrong part of the cycle where all you're going to do is add to the glut in the marketplace. You know, that's not good for Foxconn, and it won't be good for Wisconsin if they do that. Okay, so the core question is, how competitive will that factory be when they're done? Okay, now, I think that, you know, there's been a level of expectation set about, well, we're going to have an LCD fab. Okay, well, maybe it won't be a Gen 10.5 fab. Maybe it'll be a Gen 6 or Gen 6.5 fab, but we want to have an LCD fab. I don't know if that's necessarily the best approach, right? I mean, because if you think about it, the state of Wisconsin gave Foxconn incentives to really create economic activity, create jobs, you know, and new economic growth there. Okay, now, people have gotten locked into this idea of, you know, you promised a fab, I want to have a fab. Okay, and now Foxconn is trying to kind of figure out how are we going to do this, right? And, you know, if it were a choice of a Gen 6 or 6.5 fab versus something else that might be more economically successful, which would you rather have? I know what I would recommend, but I think that's the core question facing all the stakeholders in this at this point.
Governor Evers' administration, which of course was not the administration that negotiated the contract, that was the previous administration under Scott Walker. The current administration says that they're comfortable with Foxconn's plans for Wisconsin and believe that they're proceeding as they should. And they have also said that they think Foxconn executives are comfortable with their team. How much more complicated is this project, though, with a new administration from a different political party stepping in midstream?
Well, it's always complicated when you have expectations, right? I mean, I think there's a level of expectation set around incentives and what kind of jobs and economic activity will Foxconn create, right? The question going forward in my mind is, how much flexibility will be shown on both sides, right, in terms of, well, if that's the objective, do we have to do it with a Gen 6 or Gen 6.5 fab, right? I mean, that's always already a step back from the original promise. Now the question, I think, with a change of administration is, how much flexibility is there on both sides? Can both sides come up with something that makes sense and is sustainable economically? Right? You don't want Foxconn to build a factory that loses money, right? Because that doesn't serve anybody well over the long term, right? You actually want you want Foxconn to do something there that's, you know, going to have a long life and create long lasting jobs and create that economic activity. So I don't know, right? But the question is, how much flexibility will they show?
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Willie Shee is a professor of management at Harvard Business School. He talked with Judith Sears-Poisson about why he says it's unlikely that Foxconn will build a manufacturing campus as big as originally planned and what the company might ultimately put up instead.